Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week's a phenomenal week. We got Barely Human Art, Barely Human Toys coming on the podcast for a second run. He has some incredible stuff coming, some secret stuff coming, and some toys that he's been painting up and creating that we just are so excited to see. If you want to support Toys on Tap, you can jump on socials at Toys on Tap. You can like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. And if you want to jump on and support even more, you can go on the YouTube channel and you can subscribe there. You can like, hit that bell for notifications. We post toy reviews and unboxings and all kinds of cool stuff. And if you want to support the show even more, you can jump on the Patreon at patreon.com/toysontap. And get episodes of The Nitty Gritty. It's an extra 10 to 20 minutes with each artist that comes on the show. We are so pumped for that, and we thank you for all those that support and for all those that give everything to make this show happen. Now let's get into this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
What's up, babe?
What's up?
How you doing?
Good, good. You got on a little early?
I did, yeah. My wife got home a little early.
Wife coming in clutch.
She did.
You almost ready?
Yeah, do I have my video on? What's going on here?
No, at bottom left. There you go. That beautiful face.
Thank you.
Dude, I'm pumped that you're on. Round two, last time was probably, man, it's hard to think through the, probably like a year ago, right?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Bring yeah, but back.
At least a year ago, yeah. Time flies.
Dude, it's crazy, especially when you're making toys, making content, all that stuff. Time is flying.
Yeah, right?
So it's kind of going to be a catch-up, which I'm pumped and kind of walk us through. What you got coming on, and I want to talk like painting, and you're the reason that the Space Squatch kind of exists, and dude, I have so many at this point, so it's kind of your fault, right?
I'm stoked you do. I'm stoked to see them, so many of them out there. It's like, it's a really fun toy to paint, but it looks good blank as well.
This is the favorite one right here.
Oh, that's one of my favorite colors too, man.
It just... Have you seen it under UV?
Yeah, I actually have every one except for a couple of the version ones.
You have all the colors?
Yeah, because it was kind of a part of the deal. And also, you know, Tim's a hell of a dude.
Yeah.
We worked out a deal kind of that I kind of get all of them just because that was like part of my pay, basically.
Yeah.
I wanted one for my archive of every color, you know?
Yeah.
Do that with everything I create, especially if I'm not making toys. It's great to see other people making toys that I've helped make.
Yeah.
Then it makes me stoked. It's kind of like a freebie on me that I don't have to spend my money to make a toy. You know, basically it's awesome. It's the best part of doing that for people because
yeah.
It gets my Jones, because I can't afford to do all these toys. I mean, I'm not a rich guy or anything. And you know how toy business is. It's kind of one of those things where a lot of people are doing it and it's fun, and that's what I'm here for, just to have fun. But sometimes I can't afford the fun.
There we go. But we got to put
I love helping other people live their dream. That's my goal.
Yeah. You got to put air quotes though, right? Like it's for the archive.
Yes.
It might be archive, but it's also for a dope shelf.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole full shelf full. I don't have them in here. I have them down in my studio downstairs. I'm in my office right now, but
yeah, that's crazy to have that many, because I know that a lot of colors have been produced and they are just insane. Do you have the clear one?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you can help me understand. He showed me the clear one through video, and he was talking about how like on the top sometimes when it's clear it like dents in just a little bit. But he said it might be because they did like no color was added or anything. Yeah. But any insight into that?
It could be because of the no pigment.
Okay. But
I haven't really noticed that as much.
They're too great. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I want to fill mine with something, but I just haven't done it yet.
Oh, you're going to fill them?
Yeah, I want to fill it with some junk or something cool, like little toys. So much little knick-knacky stuff. It's like, I have like some, you know, those little mad balls that they made that you can chain together. I have a bunch of those. I was thinking about taking those and filling it full of the little mad ball heads or something, or just something.
That's good. I might do like packing peanuts. They have this like weird reflective hue, and then throw it on a UV light that just sits there at all times. That's the way to do it.
I saw Tim filled it with like a tinsel, and it looked insane looking. It looked really cool.
That one, and then did you see the glow rocks that he did for one of them?
Yeah, that is so cool. Actually, and that was such a good idea. I didn't even think about that. You could probably just use like aquarium rocks and stuff like that, right? And just have a black light.
Yeah, just insane. So, but we're not here for Tim and his goodness. We're here for you and your goodness. So before we keep going, please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
My name is Barely Human. John Black is my real name, but people know me by Barely Human. I make art of all kinds, from painting to vinyl toys, and I help other people make vinyl toys if I can.
Heck yeah. Are you, I mean, don't give any factory or anything away, but like, which country are you producing from?
Brazil.
Okay.
But I've been helping other people produce toys, and they've been getting them done other places. So
yeah,
luckily, but I'm still have a great connection in Brazil. I've been working with a guy. I blow his name every time, but I'm going to just say it. He goes by Resin the Gem on Instagram. Mm-hmm. He's a Brazilian artist, and we're doing a bunch of stuff together. But yeah, I mean, that's where I try to send people. If they come to me and they want to make a toy.
Rotella Resale, your premier collectibles, toys, and novelty retailer. Find the best and hard-to-find diecast vehicles and action figures. Some of the most popular vinyl LPs, Zippo lighters, and comics. Support the best artists with our rock t-shirts and posters. You will find so much more at RotellaResale.com with free shipping on U.S. orders. Use promo code RADIO for 10% off your order. Visit RotellaResale.com. That is RotellaResale.com.
And they don't know a lot about it, and I can fill them in on stuff. And also the guy I work with, Alex, or this guy, Resin and Gem, they work well together with other people, and they are very informative for newbies and stuff. So I try to, like, if someone asks me where to make a toy, I usually send them there. Mm-hmm. But I kind of run them through the ringer a little bit. Like, I'm not just giving it up to everyone. I kind of want to see that you've been working on stuff and you're actually, you know, you're legit serious about it, because I don't want to waste people's time. And it's not still not a cheap thing one way or the other. You know what I mean? Like, it's a serious.
Yeah, I'm working with Alex right now on a project. Because I want Toys on Tap to move into kind of a new sphere where, like, we help get toys produced.
Yeah.
And then after costs are recouped, you get your IP back and we're good to go. We can just call it, like, we get to separate and you have a toy that's out and molds and all kinds of stuff. And so that's where, like, we wanted to head. And we're working with Alex a little bit because I like that he does the V1 of the Space Squatch is that, like, matte color, or like the crayon color, basically. Mm-hmm. And I like that vibe. And I mean, I'm a little bummed he can't do clear, but I'm more than happy to not worry about clear if I get the other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I asked him colors today, and he I wish, like, because there's got to be a language barrier a little bit, right? Like,
right. He doesn't speak English. Do you do through WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way you can talk with him. So there's a little bit of a language barrier, but
okay.
You just have to have that patience, and he's such a good dude. And
yeah.
He's, like, so informative, and he's also, like, a master sculptor. So the guy is just, like, if you want technical amazingness, you go to him. Yeah. And if he's busy, I know he does a lot of stuff. He works for a bunch of people there and does all kinds of cool sculpting. But yeah, that's awesome, dude. Amazing. Yeah, I'm stoked for you. Anybody who can get out there and do it on their own, I'm just like, do it.
Jump. Yeah. And I think the goal for me is at least like, there's some people that can't. Mm-hmm. And I'm fortunate enough to like toys and Toys on Tap is my side hobby that has grown into a love. So let's like help fund so other people can make moves that maybe they wouldn't be able to. And so I just love the toy community too much.
Yeah, right. Good. That's but great.
Catch me up. Let's walk it back. Man, let's say a year before last year's Designer Con, not the most recent one in December, but like, right. Let's walk it back to November of the year before. Cause I remember seeing you and talking to you there. And I think we had our interview around that point. So you got a full calendar year to kind of catch me up on the stuff that you've been cranking out, conventions you've been a part of. I've seen you in some shows. Like,
yeah, I'm still doing a bunch of stuff for a while there. You know, I took almost a year off because I had a baby.
Yeah. Congrats.
And now our baby's actually a year and I'm getting full force back into toy making again. But I was doing mostly just sculpting for people. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really doing much for myself, but yeah. So basically, I think last time I talked to you, I was working on a couple toy lines for Savage Conquest.
Yep.
It was Chris Facone. And I finished those up for him. I think it was an 8-figure line, basically what it came out to be. And since then, he's even went on and made another toy, and he's got the bug and the fever. So I'm stoked for that dude, that I'm glad. He's such an amazing artist. If you don't follow him, follow Chris Facone. He's like our Frazetta, basically. He's so good. He's a talented dude.
Yeah.
So I did that for him. And then I've been sculpting just stuff that I'm like dream stuff for myself. That's all kind of secretive stuff. But then I hooked up with the guy in Brazil and I did a toy line for him that's going to be coming out pretty soon. And it's more of a Japanese inspired toy line, all the characters. And that's going to be starting out as 4, but it probably end up being about 8 figures mm-hmm. total by the time we're done. And I'm already starting a different character for him. That's a whole nother genre that we're going to do. And then I'm working on a couple other things for a guy who got the license for the Detroit. I don't know hockey, so I'm mm-hmm. like reading this. Probably people who are hockey people are probably like, this guy is an idiot.
Yeah.
But, hockey, but anyways, he bought the old school logo and stuff, and he wanted to get a toy made of it. And so I'm pretty stoked to do it. It's kind of cool. It's like a cobra that's got a hockey stick, and so it's, you know, not my usual stuff, but I'm pretty stoked on it, and it's something fun that I see someone who's not a toy person making something just to give away to people, really, or to sell as like trinkets. So
yeah,
doing that, some album cover stuff, and then I'm working on a show. I'm having an art show at Buona Spoons is another toy artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a small gallery here in Portland. And so I'm having a art show of my paintings and my drawings, and then obviously some toy stuff. I'm going to do some crazy one-offs and stuff for that show. And that's going to be May 18th. Yeah, I've just been, honestly, man, I've been drawing and painting a lot and doing a lot of character design on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing flyers and posters and other stuff for other people. And toys for other people. But now I'm working on stuff for me. I've got an ape coming out. That's all I can really say. But it's going to be a big boy. And it's going to be a hairy situation. That's all I'm going to say.
Here we go. Tell me super when secret. It stops. Tell me.
Back down a little bit. Right about there-ish. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's going to be... no one's going to have a toy like this. I'm going to come out and say it right now. It's going to come out swinging. It's going to be so cool, and I'm really excited, and hopefully in the next month or two I'll be able to start like showing the full body. I posted the head a little snap of the head printout.
Yeah.
The other day, not too much, just a little snippet. I've also got a new Walker toy coming out that I did a while back, but now I'm having it done in Sofubi. So I'm going to have massive them made, and I can do them all in different colorways. And I'm really stoked about that because that's a fun toy that's like an affordable toy for people. And, you know, it's something different. Not a lot of Walker toys out there. So I collect them. So I thought it'd be fun to make one.
Yeah. So do I like give you my money now for the ape, or like, how do we work this out?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm stoked. It's been so funny because it's like, literally my favorite thing is Planet of the Apes, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I did my ape line that I really haven't honestly taken very far yet because I really haven't mastered a good colorway that I'm excited about yet for it. So that'll probably eventually I'll start releasing those. But I've always wanted to do an ape toy. I've sculpted probably 30 of them. And I finally landed on something that I'm just like, this is the one. And I'm joining forces with my friend in Brazil, and we're using a body that he has, but also there's going to be some additions to it that are pretty mind-blowing. I'm pretty excited about. It's going to give it a real cool vintage vibe to it that you don't really see in new toys right now, I don't think. But
yeah.
Yeah, not to toot my own horn, but I'm very excited.
Just like no shortage of stuff. And it's between painting and drawing and just getting stuff sculpted and everything, I'm really interested in the sculpting aspect, because if you look at your Star Wars, we'll call them Star Wars-esque. How about that? We know what they are. They're great. It's a unique style. It is something that you are bringing to life. And so when someone comes to you and says, like, I want to sculpt something different, like, walk me through that, because you're having to like pull yourself out of what you know and do, correct?
Well, no, because honestly, everybody that has come to me has said, I want toys like your toys, basically.
Okay.
They want them to be the Planetoids. They want that to look kind of like the Planetoids, but a little, you know, different. Their idea, but they want it to look like that. So it hasn't been super hard. Luckily, the hardest one is like a couple that hasn't been that. Like, I did some stuff for a guy, Swarm Cod, he goes by.
Yeah.
I did his mech ball and stuff. You know, that's straight from his, that's nothing really, doesn't have anything to do with me. So that one was difficult. I won't lie, it was tough, because you're trying to, it's hard to get the person who designed what you're doing to be tricked into thinking this looks like my drawing in a 3D world. So that, yeah, is right. But luckily, all the toy lines I've been doing are basically toys I would have done if I had the money, like Barbarian Conquest guy. Those toys I totally would have done. In fact, I did a Barbarian body before he hit me up, and I said, hey, look it, I did this Barbarian body already, and he loved it. And so I basically just altered the one I did for myself, and then did new arms and things like that for him. I'm stoked, because like even Tim's thing, you know, his started out as a game piece from an old school board game, I think was where it was from originally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very basic, kind of the shape, the face was there, you know, but the rest of it was kind of more like a lump.
Yeah.
So turning it into articulation, I just basically kind of went with the same figure body I always do, is kind of a chubby, overweight 40s dude. You know, basically I just look at myself in the mirror and I like think, okay, this is weird. This weird body looks
good. Yeah.
But, that's, you know, I just try to keep it like what I love, and most people that have me do stuff are into it. So.
Yeah. And kind of refresh us a little bit, because if I can remember correctly, your style is kind of based off of that love for the bootleg-ish look. And so walk me through like almost like learning how to do that and being in that kind of style.
Yeah. You know, I collect a lot of stuff. I'll show you what really, let me grab a toy real quick.
Hell yeah. Yes.
Or toy needs. Okay, so These toys right here are really what
kind of crazy looking.
Make me want to make toys. They're Army of the Apes. They're weird Bandai, old school Bandai, 60s.
That green one's good.
Basic articulation, just arms on this guy. Nothing else. But this is kind of what, in my mind, I was thinking, other than no articulation in the arms, I kind of went just the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted something simple, and I that's what I love. I collected a lot of blow mold stuff from, you know, different countries and stuff, and that's just the aesthetic I love, this off-printed header cards with weird errors and stuff like that. It's just kind of what I love, and that's the aesthetic I do in my art, and I'm a goofball too, and I like goofy stuff and stuff that makes me laugh, and that's kind of what pumps me up, and that's what I try to tell other people. If you're, that should be your goal, is just do stuff that you like, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not everybody's going to like your stuff. And if you base everything off of what other people like, you're going to not get nothing done.
Yeah. And I'm in this weird spot where I love the crazy, like, Kaiju Tsufubis. Like, there's this, like, shrimp-looking one that came out recently. It's this massive piece through Last Bastion. Really cool. But I have this real love for the dopey looking, like the ape one that you showed. Like, it just has this fun feel to it.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with it. It's timeless, kind of, you know what I mean? I like stuff that's kind of detailed and stuff, but I honestly, I'm more leaned towards less is more.
Yeah.
My stuff and the stuff I enjoy, like vintage toys and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, it's, everybody's different. Everybody's going to enjoy stuff. I don't try to design things for people to buy. Let's just say that. I design things that I like and that I think that look cool. And, you know, if people do like it, I get lucky. Not everybody loves everything, you know? So you just got to have fun with it.
It's, I mean, with your pieces specifically and the look that they have, why your toys entice me to like just stare at is because it represents what you like. And I think you've gotten to a place where a lot of toy makers struggle with that. Like I personally struggle with that. It wasn't until recently I like produced something that I really like. And if it sold, it sold. If it didn't, I don't care. Cause it's like, it's out, it's good. And so it's refreshing to see that, like, that's where you're at. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. It takes a while to be comfortable with yourself. I have, you know, it's having self-esteem a little bit is helpful and just trying to keep positive, but you know, I'm just like everybody else. I have my times, and I got to give a shout out to like Tim again and Resin Blood right now, because those dudes have been pumping me up lately. And, you know, when every artist kind of gets it, you get that feeling of just like, what am I doing? Like, am I, you know, and it's cool to have people that in this community that actually reach out to you and stuff and just, and just try to like stoke you. So I just have to give those guys, they've been doing that for me lately. And my friend, Lemaird, Mike Kelly, who goes Misty Fog Toys, give him a shout out, because without that guy, I would just be like kind of doing stuff, but I just feel like he kind of gives me direction. He helps push me in the right ways, just like I help him push himself. And that's what I look for in, like, you know, compadres in the toy world.
Yeah. And seeing you guys on those lives, there's nothing better than a live where everyone's just working.
Right. That's what I kind of want to do. And it's not a show, because there's good shows out there. We don't need to do that. It's more of like, watch us hang out, watch us make stuff. And if you have a question of how to do stuff, let us know and we'll fill you in. You want to know how to make a mold? I mean, Tim is like, he's been making molds since most people even been around. You know what I mean? So we all have a little bit of an expertise, you know, and Eddie's a great artist and just like a dude who is just like a machine, nonstop work ethic.
MMP. Empire of Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsors Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
I mean that. It in itself should get people hyped to make stuff, you know, like, wow, this guy is tattooing, he's painting, he's doing toys, he's doing resin, he's doing it all, and he's doing it pretty good, and not pretty good, he's doing it amazing, to be honest, and everybody's stoked on him, and it's for a reason, because he's actually, like, you can feel it in his stuff, he's stoked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, it was crazy to see. He was on not that long ago, a couple weeks ago, and just to hear about like what he's got cranking out, and then seeing those videos are funny because you have you like working with a full setup, like mask, yeah. Everything. You got Eddie doing stuff, working with his hands, and then you have Tim sitting there just kind of staring at the camera.
Just getting high and hanging out.
Yeah.
It's funny because he works hard. I mean, he does – at least on Facebook, I see him. He does a shit. It seems like nightly release of resin stuff. You know, yeah. I don't know. Do you follow him at all on that?
Yeah.
It just seems like he's constantly pushing out resin stuff, and it's all really quality looking stuff. So, yeah. I mean, it's funny. I kind of was going to talk to him this time. Like, are you going to like make something while we're on here, or what? You're just going to like get high and chat with people, which is also cool because we don't really. You know, I get kind of like, you know, kind of camera shy, also nervous, and I don't always want to talk to people. So it's nice to have Eddie, who's great with his stories, Tim, who's like very sociable and great with people. And then, you know, I can answer a question or two or just whatever in the background, but
yeah,
it's a fun time. And it gets me working into the night and having fun and kind of getting me back into a routine of just like making art for art's sake.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's cool to jump back into that. You know, you talked about you took a year off, which is for an artist to take a year off is kind of crazy. Like, because you don't, I mean, Instagram's not meant for artists in that, like, we have so much process stuff before we release. But you take a year off. Tell me what it was like getting back, or even just like getting motivated to get back to creating like you were.
Yeah, it was, you know, okay. So I still have toys and I had toys, and I think I did a couple little tiny things here and there. But when I mean take off, I wasn't doing any commissions or anything. And also I was focusing on my baby and my family. And it was mind consuming, honestly, with having a new baby. I never had kids. So having a kid was kind of like, it was overwhelming at first, but amazing. And I couldn't believe how amazing it was. And I didn't even really, I thought about art and I would talk about it with my wife all the time. Like, man, I haven't really drawn or I haven't really created much, you know, and she'd always just be really positive and be like, oh, you will, you'll get back at it. And I'd just be like, well, I don't know, man, maybe this is time for me just to like sail away in the wind, because you start watching your followers following. And I don't even care really about that anymore, because it honestly doesn't really help me much to have a bunch of followers, because I have a small following of people who like my stuff and buy it. So I really don't, I mean, it'd be nice to meet new people that are into my art, but it's one of those things like I can't focus on that, trying to grab followers anymore. So, but it was at the time I was kind of like, am I going to be able to even get back on here and people are going to even see my stuff anymore? You know, even after a few months, like not posting is kind of weird. Right.
Yeah. And the algorithm buries. I think there are realistic reasons people get buried in the algorithm and not posting and being absent. That's one.
Yeah. Cause I was posting twice a day, you know, for couple of years, and I was hitting it hard. So Barely Human Toys is 3 years old this month.
Ooh, it's happy birthday.
Cool. Yeah, and I'm almost to the day, 15 years ago is when I did my first resin piece and sold it. So I did molds and resin pieces beforehand, messing around, trying to learn it. But the first piece I did was about 15 years ago. So it's funny how it all is kind of coming back around and I'm getting my stoke back and I'm like producing again and doing stuff because it kind of like comes in, you know, it comes in waves sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what I guess you have to kind of remember that, you know, you can't be on always 24/7. Some people can, I can't. But I'm stoked to be like making art all the time again. Every day I'm making art, and whether people see it or not, I'm stoked to be doing it, you know?
Yeah. Tell me about, were you at DesignerCon this last one? No, right?
No.
So are you, I mean, I got a couple questions surrounding this. Now that you're back into it, are you coming back to the one in Vegas? Going to try to get back in?
I want to. I've been talking to a couple people. It's really expensive.
Unreal expensive.
Yeah, and it's gone up. So I remember when I first started, it was like $400 or something. Okay. Now it's like $1,200. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll be 100% real with everyone here and honest. That's a lot of money to charge an artist. Struggling or trying to make ends meet, plus you got to get hotel, your everything else, right? You're spending like $3,000-$4,000 just to go.
Yeah,
a family, at least for me, you know, it's like an expensive trip. Then we got to go to Disneyland, but of course it's in Vegas this time, so we got to go out.
Yeah,
but I don't know, it's hard for me to like want to give someone all that money when I can stay home and do it on my own through my website and be real with people. But I do 100% miss hanging out with people in real life and mostly just meeting the other artists and seeing them again and people I haven't seen in a couple of years now. And then also before that, COVID. So a lot of my Japanese friends couldn't make it and now they're coming back and I haven't been able to go. So it's kind of, I'm struggling with it. Like I really want to go. So I'm putting it out there now. If someone wants to have a Barely Human Day where I come and sit in on a booth and just sell some stuff for a couple hours or whatever, I'd be really down with that. Just doing a guest spot, tossing some money in on that. But I don't think I really want my own booth. I want to be able to literally go out and meet everybody this year. Yeah. So that's my thing.
That's the cool part. I think about DesignerCon. Every artist that comes on here, it always comes up. Like, are you headed there to get a booth? And, I've always wanted one for Toys on Tap because it's like, but
because you just sat and did live from there, I'll walk up and talk to you while you're doing it. That'd be a cool, cool thing.
Yeah.
The
hard part is like, if it's already tough for someone, so you guys make incredible work, right? And you sell it. If it's already tough to make $1,200 worth it, a podcast that doesn't sell anything.
Right.
Unreal.
So, How do we, so here's what I'm thinking. Like you need to talk to, what's that guy's name? Gosh, he runs, I'll think of it and I'll send you an email, but maybe you can work out a deal with them. You know what I mean? Like I've heard people getting booths for, you know, like doing things, like if you could promote them or somehow you had something where you could hook it up to where like you were the default place where you come and do artists come talk to you. And you know what I mean? There has to be something that you could be value to them that they should be tossing you a booth.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it's what it is. It's like archiving and it's history, right? You're keeping track of history of toy history and that's worth a lot of money. And that's worth a lot to people in the future. Like, you know, I don't think about it now, but like, let's say 20 years from now, all these interviews, people are going to be like, fuck, did you see that one interview with Resin Blood? Or did you see that one?
And yeah.
It just, you know, I think that, God, there has to be something for you there that they should be able to, I'm going to seriously, send you an email with a couple names. Maybe you can make something happen, man. You seem like a guy that could do it.
That's it would be so fun to like make it happen, but
where do you think?
I'm in San Diego. So it was prime, like just driving an hour and I was there. Yeah. But now it's like a little 5 hours. Yeah. So what's crazy is it's either a 5 hour drive or from San Diego, I pay $70 round trip for a flight, but I can't take anything with me.
See, that's hard.
Yeah. So
another thing for artists too. It's very hard. If you can drive and take your stuff, but like packing all your stuff into suitcases or boxes and hoping it gets there, it's stressful, you know? And I've done it since 2015. Mm-hmm. And every year it's a stress. You know what I mean? It's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy.
Once you get set up and it's amazing, you know, and it's really fun and you meet so many people, you know, and you just meet so many like-minded people, which is rad.
Yeah. We're kind of encroaching on it. I'm going to poke a little bit. I need to hear, like, you don't want to share anything about the ape. I need to hear like why we're heading this way. What brought up this idea, that kind of stuff. Because I want, if it's something that we haven't seen before and it's a toy that I'm already like, how do I get this?
Yeah.
Tell me some stuff.
Well, God, what can I spill on it? So basically, it's got a very vintage vibe to the accessory they were adding to it. It's really, without telling you completely what it is, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Describe what we're doing, but I'll say that it
we got a release date.
No release date, but it's in production right now. Like, literally is in production. So it's not long. It won't be long. But yeah, it's hard to really tell you without completely telling you what it would be. Okay. And I would kind of be stepping on my partner's toes if I did that.
Can we talk inspiration, where it's coming from, where the love is to like make this
like
thing?
Inspiration on it would be like old 60s tin toys.
Yeah.
Song tin toys, stuff like that. Definitely along that vibe. I mean, that would probably be the closest. That would be the most. Probably my biggest inspiration from what we're doing to it would be that. So that's basically all I can go. I'm sure people will be able to guess what I'm doing at this point, but I'll wait to fully spill the beans till I have a great picture of it and I can actually show people and it's in my hands, done. But it is coming. It's in production, so I don't have to stress about that. That is happening.
Awesome. Awesome.
Also, my walkers are coming soon. And I have some other things going to be. We're working on another secret toy that's a bootleg, definitely a big bootleg in the Sofubi world. And it's probably going to anger some folks. Some of the people that are, I would guess, some of the big time collectors and some of the people on Skullbrain will probably flip their lids and be pissed.
Okay, wait. I got two questions. Did you say walkers?
Well, I made the walker toys, the little walker toys. Wind-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so maybe I misheard you earlier. That's being produced right now?
Yeah, those are actually being made too. Yeah, those are coming too. They're like little ape walkers. And
awesome.
Yeah, and they're blank, so I can paint them in all sorts of colorways and stuff, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, this thing that's about to anger the community that we all love and are in. intentional or just you want to produce what you want to produce?
I've had this idea for so I've sculpted this piece twice now. Okay. I sculpted it like probably 3 years ago, before I even had a toy. I sculpted this when I first got a 3D printer. I was doing whole bunch of stuff and like printing out things and painting them and learning about articulation and how does a toy stand good and is how they're going to be solid. That doesn't always work once you get it made and things happen, things shrink and this and that. But so I sculpted this and then I re-sculpted this toy when my friend in Brazil was like, we should do that toy that you did. And I was like, yes, let's do it. But I want to re-sculpt the whole thing. And because it was the one I did didn't have articulation. It was kind of all one piece. This one now has head articulation and arms articulation, and it's based on pollution and fast food. That's all I'll say.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed. Wait. Salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DOV2! Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys!
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE!
But it's going to be pretty awesome. It's probably going to be, I would guess, 10 inches, maybe 11 inches tall.
Man. You've got like so much coming.
I do have some things coming now, and it's been a while, and now it's going to come full force again. Like I kind of did with Planet Toys, there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out, but all different, not just one thing. And I'd like to redo. I have four heads sculpted for Planet Toys that I sculpted quite a bit ago, which I hope to do by the end of the year and have a few more of those guys out, but.
That's...
I got a hammerhead guy, and I got a IG-88 looking dude.
Yeah,
a couple other Star Warsy kind of guys. But
I don't remember. Do you have an Ewok one?
No, I do not.
Is that on the docket?
It could be. I mean, people have asked me about that. Same with the Yoda. So basically, I didn't have a Yoda, but what I do is I have my Peanut that I sculpt with plastic onto it, and I make ears, and I turn him into Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
I call him Scrota. But an Ewok would be cool. An Ewok would be really cool, actually, a small little short guy. But I did, you know, my R2-D2-esque guy is actually furry with an R2-D2 style head. I mean, you noticed it's got kind of a trailing fur behind it. But an Ewok would be fun. I love
it. Yeah. I have such a love for Ewoks. It's crazy to say that you're coming back full swing and listing. It's like more than full swing, right? Like the amount of toys that are in production or coming is a lot. We just finished talking about how expensive it is to do one. And we're talking like possibly 3-4 toys come in, which is unreal.
Yeah, well, I'm also a lot. Some of that is going to be because I'm trading work. Sculpt work for toy work.
Okay.
Kind of works out good that way. So I don't have to put a ton of money down, luckily. And I'm just working for it.
Yeah.
Trade. It's old school.
That's the way to a handshake trade. That's what I'm here for. With those things coming, you're also in shows and like painting up a storm. I saw you in the Space Squatch show.
Yeah. That was fun.
Incredible. The Ronald McDonald, right?
Yeah, it's a fun one to paint. I mean, I've done that colorway on like all my toys because it's just it's just one of those things that just never looks bad, you know? It's always fun.
And
I had to do it. I had a red blank, so I was like, well, I'm doing a Ronald. I told him the first day he asked me about it, I was like, well, I'm doing Ronald McDonald then.
And he has one. I think he has one in his collection.
I painted it for him, yeah.
God.
I painted two at the same time. I painted a version one and a version two.
Okay. It was cool to see. That show was killer. I didn't see one bad piece.
Oh, it was amazing to see that many colorways.
Yeah. I'm not above saying like, oh, this piece maybe like they're like some are really good and this one maybe not. But this was one of those shows where it was like, this is unreal. Like, how are we just producing?
There was a lot of people on there I'd never even heard of, and I was just blown away by it. Some of the work. I was just like, these guys really went to town on these things. So
good job.
Yeah.
And so you painted that. Tell me about that process. I mean, the thing that's really crazy about that piece more than anything is the like you got even the lines on the arm.
Yeah.
And you right next to, on the chest, you got like your logo, correct?
Yeah.
Which is insane to put that because it looks like a little thing on there.
Yeah, I mean, it came out cool. I had it was a lot of tape work on those.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of time to tape them up, and I did them both at the same time because Tim commissioned me to do one at the same time. Yeah, and I also did the Mickey Mouse's at the same time as well.
Yeah.
And then that one sold online, and then I did one for Tim. So I might do another run of those because that was fun. Yeah. I enjoy simple paint jobs that make things look like other things.
Yeah. It was good.
They don't have to be that complicated. It's funny how the eye gets tricked by just simple lines and things like that, right?
Yeah. For shows, you were talking about a little bit about a show coming up. What's going on with that show? What's cranking with that one? Are you allowed to talk about what you're adding to that show?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I did like 20 watercolor and paintings for it. They're kind of drawings and watercolors. And then I did doing some larger acrylic paintings of some weird characters that I've been coming up with. And then I'm probably going to do a dozen one-offs. I haven't started them. The show is May 18th, but I'll start working this weekend on like some special one-offs just for the show. And then I might do a special colorway of the Peanut just for Grass Hut show as well.
It's crazy. I mean, all of the work that I've seen you do is toy related or toy sculpting or toy painting and all that stuff. So to hear you say that you got this much going into watercolor and acrylic and stuff, tell me about this painting. How come we've never talked about this?
Oh man. Yeah. It's like something I kind of put on the back burner for a long time. I started painting in the 90s. I started acrylic painting. I was really into like lowbrow surrealism. Like, you know, guys that were doing art back then were like, who I thought were rad were like Coop and a bunch of other guys who were doing like Hot Rod, Rat Finky style stuff. Mm-hmm. So kind of like, you know, skateboarding and basically Mad Magazine. That basically created my style and of what I do. And tattoos later on became really big in my life. Like, as soon as I was old enough to get one, I started getting them. I had a friend who did them. And I hung out in a tattoo shop like for years, helping out, learning how to do it, but never ended up doing it until about 4 or 5 years ago, I started doing tattoos and stuff. I bought the equipment and I do them on my wife and her sister and our friends. And it's just like a fun thing that I do. I don't recommend it for everybody. It's not, you know, I don't say go out and buy a tattoo machine, but it is really fun.
Yeah.
It's another art that's fun. But yeah, it's, you know, painting since the 90s. Took a long time off, got back into it, was doing art shows. But now, and then I got really into the toy scene and resin scene, started doing that and kind of put all that on the back burner. But the past couple of years, I've really just been on my own, just kind of drawing again and having a sketchbook, drawing or painting every night. And yeah, so that's what I'm doing again. I'm doing that in my spare time.
Yeah, which means nothing.
Yeah. I'm just doing that. And so, yeah, just want to get it back out there. And I do all the art for my own headers. I do all my own art. I do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I do art for other people. Graphic design, I've been doing that for a long time. I used to work in a pretty cool I won't even mention their name, but I used to work for a pretty cool company that I did a lot of art for. And when I got out of that is when I started doing art on my own. And so that's been about almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that time, right before the pandemic, I opened up a hamburger shop with some folks. Then the pandemic hit. Kind of went out, and then so I just kind of went back to doing art again. And so yeah, that's life.
We gotta, you're just throwing stuff at me, man. Tell me about this hamburger joint. What the hell?
Yeah, me and a couple guys, I won't call them friends because they ended up not being great guys, but we all came up with a cool hamburger joint concept. We called it Black Seed Burger Cult.
Okay.
And it was kick-ass. It was in Portland. We were going gangbusters for a couple of years, and then it just kind of went south. But, yeah, it was awesome for me because I got to design most of the stuff for it, and I got to design the way it looked inside and help come up with all the ideas. And we had all these ideas of making it look. Sometime I'll have to show you pictures, but it was really awesome. It was a fun thing. We had, you know, I had a Burger Time machine in the place.
Oh.
One video game machine, but just Burger Time, that's all you need.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did vegan and gluten-free stuff. We had two different grills, which was pretty unique. And it was amazing, man. We had great food, and I miss it, but I don't miss the stress of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
Chris, I'm not a business guy. I'm never going to be a business guy. That's why I don't make that much money.
It's like you're trading one stress for another, right? It's either art or burgers. Like,
that's a better one because once I get it out, when I'm doing the art, it kind of, the stress goes away, right?
Yeah.
But the burger place, the stress never went away. I never went to, I couldn't sleep, and you think about things all the time. So that's what's great about art. It's stressful sometimes when you think, man, I can't come up with an idea, or sometimes you just have like blocks and things. But that's the stress of that. Goes away so fast once you just kind of relax and do something.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy to think, because that's a jump. I would say that's a jump into a whole nother realm, but it's just another form of you being creative and coming right up with a burger place, coming up with that kind of stuff, which is sick.
Because you could come up with stuff. Like, the funnest part of was running the social media and doing like dumb burger drawings all the time. I mean, that's literally my job, you know? And I was like, I can't complain about this, but I also have to stress about making money to keep the business open.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was really fun.
With the, I mean, painting and watercolor and graphic design and stuff, that's a lot. How are you doing that and tattooing when you do it on your like relatives and friends and stuff, and doing toys and having a kid and... Like, what are you doing? A lot of, like, what's happening?
Yeah, it's just nonstop, I guess. I mean, luckily, my wife's super supportive, and she knows making stuff is, like, my life, too. And I get afforded the opportunity to do it when I can, and I have a space to do it down in the basement. I can go downstairs, and I can paint, and I can make stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's just squeezing in time a little bit here, a little bit there. Like when I'm hanging out with my daughter, I'll try to draw, you know, and do stuff. And, you know, when my wife gets home from working all day, because she's a dental hygienist, so she's working, she works a real job all day long. Mm-hmm. When she comes home, we kind of switch off and then, you know, have dinner and then kind of get to make some art and do stuff. But usually try to get in one day a week of just toy making stuff.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff I just do while everybody else is sleeping.
Yeah. I understand that at a real level.
Yeah.
Of just,
when the family goes to sleep, I get crazy and try to get some stuff done too. So
yeah, of being so tired but feeling so gratified because I stayed up 4 extra hours because I killed it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great feeling, you know. And then when you go to bed completely exhausted, you're kind of like, you're happy, and you wake up happy because you're like, man, I did what I wanted to do last night.
Yeah. That's so good. I mean, that's a solid catch up. There's a lot that is going into your return. And I can't wait to see what happens full force with that. Even, I mean, my full force and yours are definitely different levels, because what you're doing is crazy and how you're cranking. But I can't wait to see you return to possibly DesignerCon or return back to toy making as a whole. Yeah, so crazy. I mean, since the last time you've been on, we've added a new segment to the show, which I'm pumped about. And it's specific. It goes on the Patreon. It's called the Nitty Gritty. So I'm pumped for that. And I got a specific question for you where I want to talk through.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're going to close this one out. And I kind of want to Like, plug everything. You got so much shit coming. Plug all the stuff coming. If you have release dates, where they can find you. If we can give you toys to paint and you can give us, like, sculpting, we can trade stuff. Like, tell the world about everything.
Yeah, so basically, I've got some art shows coming up, which I'll post on my Instagram, which is Barely Human Art. But I also have Barely Human Toys, which I forget about sometimes. But if you leave me a message on there, I always get back. It just may be, like, a week late. Because I don't check it a lot. And I try to just post to both, but it's hard. It's really hard. So, yeah, going to be posting some art show stuff. Got a lot of releases coming out, working with other people. But mainly just kind of, you know, check out the Instagram page and Saturday nights. Tune in if you want. Ask questions. If you need some sculpting work done, hit me up. I'm opening my commissions back up again. And, you know, I'm always down for trade and stuff. And if people want to do, want me to paint their toys or stuff, I can sometimes do that. I have a little bit of a backlog right now, but you can always hit me up. I'm always around, and I'm definitely a guy that will get back to you. And sometimes it may take a couple of days, but I definitely get back to people and I don't leave you hanging. So, yeah, just check out my Instagram and my Saturday live feeds when I can do it. And other than that, just keep being cool and thanks for the support.
Heck yeah. Dude, thank you. Thank you for coming on Toys on Tap.
Thank you, man.